Well, this morning, we're going to start a new series. This series will have three messages attached to it. So it'll be a three-part series. It'll take us these next 3 weeks. And these are topics that I believe that God is speaking to his people, to us as his people, to his church. In these times, there's many, I've heard many ministers and other pastors and leaders that I respect, that I would consider as mentors in my life, have similar messages to these that they feel God has placed on their hearts as well. And so this message, this series, is one of those that it kind of really doesn't hold anything back. It's, this series, it really doesn't pull any punches, so to speak. It's one of those that, you know, maybe we don't always like to hear about, but it's God is giving his church in these days a wake-up call. A wake-up call. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened and a lot of things that have gone on that has made God's people wake up a little bit. That's made God's church wake up a little bit. And so maybe, you know, this is one of God's last wake-up calls for his people and for his church. The world around us, as we look around, the world around us is crazy. The world around us is violent. The world around us is corrupt. It's evil. It's perverted. Everywhere that you look, everything that you do, you can see one of those forms of things in the world around us. And it's interesting that in these times, in the church, even things are getting all crazy and wild and weird. Everyone right now is an end times expert. It's quite interesting. YouTube is full of any garbage that you want. You can pick a topic and I can find you 10 convincing arguments on both sides from YouTube. No matter which way you turn, there's chaos. Violence is everywhere. Doctors being murdered in their office by their patients in Red Deer. Defund the police. Don't even get me started. Coronavirus. Maybe let's not go there. Abortion. Sex trafficking. It never ends. The lists go on and on and on of things that are happening in the world and all of these people that think it's okay. All of these people that go along with it as if it's good and awesome and amazing and right. And a lot of people in the church. Everything that God has created, we the world have perverted. In some way and in some form. And then, if that doesn't get me all worked up enough, a study comes out. It's from the States, but I would imagine that we're quite close in how we view things. But it's from the States. It's a Barna-type study. And here are the results. I'll read some of them to you. Christians who think that it's enough to be a good person in order to be saved outweigh those who believe Jesus is the only way to salvation. The survey of 2,000 American adults found that only 2/3 believe salvation is through Christ, with more believing that it can be earned. Only 1/3 of those surveyed agree with this statement. Christians, you consider yourself to be a Christian, and when you die, you will go to heaven only because you've confessed your sins and have accepted Jesus Christ as your savior. Only 1 out of 3 Christians. Overall, respondents were far more likely to agree, 48%, almost half, were far more likely to agree that if a person is generally good or does enough good things during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. Half, only 49%, said that they feel a personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs. And the findings also suggested a tendency to regard all faiths as equal. 63% agree to this statement. Having faith matters more than which faith you have. 63% of Christians surveyed agree with that statement. It's not surprising that the world is how the world is when the church and Christians believe that, when that can be said of them. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, those sorts of things should upset you. Those sorts of things should bother and hinder your spirit. Those sorts of things should make you ask questions of how can we change that? What can we do about those things? Have you ever heard someone say this? Has someone ever said this to you? Times have changed. Times are changing. Get with the program. Just adapt your beliefs to fit with the world around you, because God's old-fashioned. Your old-fashioned beliefs just don't work in the world anymore. Is that the answer? Just adapt what you believe. Just make it work. Is that love? Tell me, what is love? I believe God is saying to me, to you, to his people, to his church, it's time. It's time. It's time to get serious. It's time to choose who you serve. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop adapting his word to fit the world around you. This message I've called Prepare. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24. If you have your Bibles or your phones with you this morning, Matthew chapter 24. God is saying it's time. Politicians are not going to save this world. Money is not going to save this world. Nothing is going to change if the church doesn't wake up. Love is the answer, 100%. But tell me, what is love? Matthew 24, start reading in verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As always, we declare its truth. We declare that we will live by it. We will allow it to change us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and into the rooms of those watching live, Lord, to minister to our hearts and to our minds, to stir us, to speak to us, to show us your truth and love, and to do among us what only you can do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we have Jesus talking about his return. He's talking about the end. He's talking about the end of days. He's talking about the end of time as we know it. And he says, no one knows that day or hour except the Father. No one knows. So I don't care if it's on YouTube. No one knows the day or the hour when he's coming. But the fact is that Jesus is coming back. That's a reality. But no one knows when besides the Father. If we knew, we could just plan for that day and hour. It would be so much easier. Because if I knew the day and the hour, I can do whatever I want until that day and that hour. But we don't know the day and the hour. So you can do whatever you want, but you may be too late. You may be the one out in the field that gets left. Jesus relates how this time will be to Noah's day, and it's very fitting. So what were people doing in Noah's day? Well, it says people were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, life as usual. Nothing was different except some nut building an ark. Life as usual. I'll worry about God tomorrow. Today I'm having fun. I'll change my life tomorrow. Just, I don't want to do it right now. Just one more drink. Just one more hit. I'll stop doing this tomorrow. I'll start doing this tomorrow. What else were the days like in Noah's time? Well, if you read in Genesis chapter 6, it says that the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Does that sound at all familiar? Jesus tells us that people in Noah's time, he says, did not know until the flood came and took them all away. That's an interesting statement. They did not know. Well, why didn't they know? Why didn't they know the flood was coming? How would they not know the flood was coming? Is that what people will say when Jesus returns? After the church is raptured, then those who are left, will they say, I didn't know Jesus was coming. Nobody told me this was going to happen. No one ever warned me. They told me it was all okay. They told me that God loved me. And so it's all going to be okay. They told me that my good could outweigh my bad and I could earn my way there. They told me that having faith matters more than which faith I had. That's what they told me. Is that what they will say? Are we willing to change that? Why didn't they know in Noah's time? How did they possibly not know in Noah's time? Noah's building an ark. You think they would have noticed? Imagine how it must have been for Noah building this ark. When there's no flood, year after year and day after day, and there's no flood, but he's building this ark. Imagine what people would have had to say. Imagine the ridicule. Imagine how old-fashioned he must have seemed, how weird he must have seemed, how out of place to those around him he must have seemed, building this big, huge ark for a flood that's coming, that never comes. Imagine if he would have just simply gave in to all that pressure. Caved to the world around him. Imagine if he would have adapted the word he had from God to fit the world around him and what everybody else was saying and doing. The ark took a long time to build. If you read through Genesis and take the different accounts and the ages of his sons and you piece it all together, most scholars would believe that he was building this ark for a period of time, something like 55 to 75 years. 55 to 75 years he built the ark with no flood. That's a lot of years. The ark was big. It wasn't like people didn't notice. It wasn't like he could hide it in his garage and it's just some weird thing he's doing. 450 feet long, approximately. 70 feet wide, 75 feet wide and 45 feet wide. It had a capacity exceeding 500 railroad stock cars that he built for 55 to 75 years. Imagine the world for Noah. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building the ark. For what? The coming flood. Noah, just stop. Stop the silliness, Noah. There's no flood coming. It's not going to happen, Noah. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building the ark. For what? The coming flood. Stop, Noah. There's been no flood for 50 years. Give your head a shake. Get with the times. Stop being weird. Just blend into everybody else and live your life. Noah, stop it. The world is changing. Maybe God's word that he gave you doesn't matter anymore. Noah, just stop. Don't be so judgy to everyone around you. How are you so good and living so right that you get to build the ark? Are you better than everybody else, Noah? Noah, just stop it. This is how the world is. Adapt. Stop fighting it, Noah. Embrace it, Noah. Get with the program, Noah. But what they didn't know was that Noah had heard from God. They didn't know that Noah had God's word, that he knew was truth, that he knew was true. He knew that what God said would come to pass. It didn't matter if it had been 54 years. He knew maybe in the 55th year the flood was coming. Noah kept building the ark. Noah didn't care what the world around him said. He didn't care what the world said was right or wrong. Noah didn't care what the world said was good or bad. Noah believed God, not the world around him. And then the flood came. And all of those who rejected God and his word as old-fashioned and out of place and useless and no longer valid, and all of those who just went along with the world, and all of those who did whatever felt right to them, and all of those who made up their own truth, got swept away in the flood. Gone. Except Noah and his family. Noah believed God and he lived according to God's ways. God's ways, not the world's ways. And God saved him and his family. You need to know something this morning, and that's Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Does everyone you know that? And if they don't, why not? Why wouldn't we tell them? Why haven't we told them? Why isn't the church telling everyone? Jesus tells us in verse 42, he says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And verse 44 says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Are you ready? Are you following Jesus? Are you living his word? Or are you living according to the world? You don't want to be rejecting Jesus and living like the world when he comes back. Don't do it. Don't live that way. Let's make sure that as far as we have influence or a sphere around us of people that we can speak to and influence, let's make sure that no one is able to say on that day, "I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody ever warned me." We're supposed to love everybody. Absolutely. Love God with all you are and all you have and all that you ever will be. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the command. Love is the overarching principle of everything. Love is who God is. But tell me, what is love? What does love look like? If you see someone about to jump off a cliff and kill themselves, and you don't warn them, you don't try to stop them, because it's their choice if they want to jump or not. It's their life. Is that love? If you know the truth and you see someone living a lie and you don't warn them, you don't tell them, because they're free to live however they want to live. It's their life. Is that love? If you have God's word that you know is truth and you see someone living in a way that God says will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and you say nothing, and you don't try to reach them, and you never tell them, is that love? You need to know that as many in this study profess to believe that God's word is actually very clear. There's not a lot of ambiguity in most of it. Some of it, there's interpretation. Some of it, there's room. Some of it, absolutely. But most of it, no. We just like to twist stuff and adapt stuff and make it easier. The study says that most Christians believe if a person is generally good or does enough good things during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. That is a lie. You need to know that is a lie. You need to have been told that is a lie. You need to know that, as the study says, many believe that having faith matters more than which faith you have. That is a lie. Having faith matters nothing if your faith isn't in Jesus. There is not your truth and my truth and everybody make a truth. That doesn't exist in the real world. There's one truth, and his name is Jesus. It's not find your own path, make your own way, choose your own faith journey. Life isn't a choose your own adventure book. It would be quite a boring book, because there's only one way to choose that's any good. The rest of them, you all die. Badly. There's one way to the Father, and his name is Jesus. There is not multiple names by which you can be saved. All of these other faiths, the God, their God's dead. He's dead. He's in a tomb somewhere. Dead. Jesus is alive. There's one name by which we can be saved, and the name is Jesus. This is not my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. This is not my view. This is not something that I've made up. This is not something that I've just compiled up and said, here is what I believe to be the right way. This is the Word of God that as Christians we say we believe. You either believe it or you don't. That's what it comes down to. When Jesus returns, there won't be a discussion. There won't be a sit down. There won't be an opportunity. You believe or you don't. You lived it or you didn't. It's the way it works. Love me or hate me, it's the way it works. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. But there is good news, however. God has promises. Amazing promises. God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. God, Scripture says, is not a man that he should lie. To Noah, God had a promise. He promised him that you build this ark and you will live. He gave him the way to life. But Noah had to believe it or not. He had to live it or not. When the flood came, he either built the ark or he didn't. Took him 55 to 75 years to build the ark. There's not a lot of room there for Noah to make up his mind. There's not a lot of room there for Noah to just kind of hang out and decide what he's doing or what he's not and be halfway in and halfway out, because the flood's coming. And if the ark isn't built when the flood comes, he's out of luck. But God had another promise for Noah. He promised that to never again wipe away everyone from the earth by a flood. God made a covenant with Noah and his descendants. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. God is a covenant God. He is a God of promises. Now the world has taken the rainbow and perverted it. The world takes everything that God creates and perverts it. But the rainbow is a covenant promise from God. God's given us another promise, a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. Jesus. Jesus came and he lived among us, fully God and fully man. He lived the perfect life that we'll never live on this earth. And he died sinless for you and for me because of sin. He was hung on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from that grave. He is alive. And therefore he's defeated death, and he's defeated sin, and he's defeated the judgment that would be upon us. John 3:16 is God's promise that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He's given us an ark to build. Believe in Jesus. We either believe or we don't. One day we'll find out, I guess. Make the decision now. Don't make it tomorrow. Maybe we're 54 days into waiting for the flood and it's coming on day 55. Maybe we're 54 years into waiting on the flood and it's coming in next year, 55. Maybe not. We don't know the day or the hour, but will you be ready? Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's a promise. The world has tried to pervert it. Even some in the church have allowed it to be perverted. But that's God's promises. It says what it says. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. Peter preached it. I'm preaching it. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist came from the wilderness preaching. Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. He went through his wilderness temptation, and he came out filled and in the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That means turn and go a different way. That's a choice. You either do it or you don't. Follow Jesus. Be ready. Tell everybody. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and your goodness. We thank you that you've given us promises. Just as you gave to Noah, you've given us promises. Just as you gave to Noah a way to be saved, a way to be alive, a way to make it through what's coming, so you've given to us. God, you've given us Jesus, that if we would believe in him, if we would confess with our mouth that he's Lord, if we would repent from our ways and turn to follow Jesus and live according to your word and not the world's ways, that we will be saved, that we will not perish and have eternal life. God, help us to sense the urgency in that. Help that to be a reality in our hearts and in our minds. Not a fantasy, not a future game, but a present reality. God, we don't know the day or the hour. Only you do, Father. Help us to be ready. Help us to tell everyone, to warn everyone of what's coming. Help us to stand on your truth and your word, regardless of what the world around us tells us, regardless of how the world sees it old-fashioned and the world sees it irrelevant and the world is going a different direction. Help us to follow you, Lord. This wake-up call that you're giving your people in the church, help us to wake up, Lord. God, we read that in Acts, the book of Acts, the early church, it says of them that they turned the world upside down. God, help us to stop the world from turning the church upside down. Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence in our lives, that you would so fill us to overflowing, that we would be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus in this earth. That we would do the things that Jesus did and even greater things because he's gone to you, Father. And the Holy Spirit has come to us. So fill us and clothe us with power. Fill us and clothe us with courage and boldness. That we would wear the full armor, that we would have it in place, that we would wield it well, that it would be well oiled in prayer, and that we would be ready for when you come back. In Jesus' name, amen.